You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for ChartsAndMarkets.com. He's speaking to us from Vancouver. Welcome back to the show, Bob.
Yeah, good to be with you, Jim, and with our listeners out there in the ether. And we're back into some rain finally in Vancouver, and it reminds me of the way you judge the weather here, is that you look at the mountains, and if you can see the mountains, you know it's going to rain. And if you can't see the mountains, you know it is raining.
My question today from an inquiring mind is to host the World Cup games. Vancouver and Toronto each paid $104 million a game. So over $700 million in Vancouver, Toronto about the same amount. Do cities and provinces and countries ever get their money back after expending something like that on a major event like the World Cup or the Olympics like Vancouver did?
Yeah, I don't think so. It's a big come on that they're going to attract a lot of business in, but they spend like drunken sailors. And I don't go along with that theory. And I'm glad you also mentioned the Olympics, because for decades I've thought that the Summer Games should be held at the same place each time, and it saves the costs and the bogus hoax. And the Winter Games should be held at the same place each time.
Vancouver, I would vote to be one of the permanent hosts for the Winter Olympics. It was the first one where everything was ready to go at least a year in advance, unlike Turin, where they were still building the hockey rink while the players were on the ice.
I think it was successful in Vancouver, but as I say, one place for each venue, for each of the Summer Games and Winter Games, and we were there.
Now, of course, they may have to hold the Alpine events someplace else. Well, Whistler was okay. They always have snow and they have a glacier. But in other places, Grouse Mountain, sometimes it was just too warm. It was.
I even think Whistler is too variable. For Winter Games, and you can have very soggy weather at the valley floor at about 2,000 foot elevation. So, in my career, I did a lot of skiing up at Whistler, and that means driving there and back and being in the valley floor and upnot. And I would not recommend Whistler as a permanent site for summer or for Winter Games.
Now, and of course, it's if you're a regular skier, Whistler, it was $300 for a ski ticket. That's from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m., so 6 hours. And you spend about half of it on the gondola. So there's, not, you know, for...
Oh, no, recently, ski day tickets, skiing are very high. I looked into it. And even my very old favorite down at Alta, Utah, when I skied there in the 60s, it was like $3 for the day and a dollar and a half if you got there at noon for half day. And now, I'll just put in that Alta has the very steep slopes you need for skiing deep powder, and they get deep powder unlike anywhere else in the world. So if you're a powder hound, you got to go and ski at Alta at least once in your life.
Now, taking a look at the stock markets, and we're going to take a look at some of the headlines that caught your eye, but I was just looking at one here from the LAD Bible, the technology column. The man who predicted COVID and the 2008 financial crisis has another chilling warning. Robert Peston says he's genuinely anxious that a major market crash is on the way and he reckons artificial intelligence will be to blame.
Oh, yeah. As you know, Jim, we've been talking that this, back in the early part of the year, we were looking for the good stuff to run out to mid-year. And then somewhere around March, we're looking at the action. I thought, whoa, this is now into a great financial bubble. And it is number six. Number five was 1929. You get the gist. And 1873 was the fourth one. So, and I'm convinced that this is the completion of a great bubble, in which case, in New York, in 1929, it peaked, I think, September 3rd, and in New York, in the 1873 bubble, it peaked in September, and then you had the liquidity crisis in the fall, and also on the historical research I've done is that even back to the 1300s where evidence is available, if there's going to be a crash, it will likely be in the fall. So it's just the way the seasons work. So we have, in my mind, a great financial bubble like 1929 being completed at about the right time. And actually, I'm a little biased because of this history. I'd love to see New York continue to make highs right into September. And of course, a number of the indicators are getting really stretched. The public is coming in. And the public does not buy at major lows. They get in at the top. One of the other features is that in 1929, speculative money in Europe and London was flowing into New York because that's where the action was. So, it has all the signs of the completion of a great financial bubble. And myself, as I said, would be very pleased if New York gets to a new high in September. And then, once we get into late August, we'll review it yet again. So it's a fascinating market, Jim.
Part of the thing driving up prices, of course, is the conflict in the Strait of Hormuz. How long do you see that going on for?
That one. Let's go back to last December when we had called for crude oil to fall down to a dismal low in December, January, and I think it was at 55. And then it was free to rally to wherever it was going. And then along came the disaster in the Middle East, and crude shot up, WTI shot up to $119. And then it slumped all the way down to 65. So, it will be choppy based on news through August. And when we get there, we'll look and see if we can find a case for looking for another dismal low late in the year.
We'll have more with Bob Hoy right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Bob Hoy. Bob, a headline from Zero Hedge. Meta melt-up, Hynix hype, crude crunch, and vaporized volumes, and stocks shooting higher.
Oh, yeah. What a colorful headline. Yep. It's recording the huge speculation. So, yeah.
From the Wall Street Journal, blockbuster stock sales are threatening to overwhelm the bull market.
Yeah, that's new issues coming out, and they've been calling them for decades initial public offerings, or IPO. I don't like the phrase, and I stay with the term a new issue of stocks. And new issues are there, and they're also a feature of the final part of a great bubble.
Yes, we saw SpaceX come in at about $135, $150 on its IPO. It went up to $225 and then has fallen back to perhaps even less. Are things like that heavily manipulated, and it's hard to know if you're getting a good price or not?
Well, or Musk will be doing, and the underwriters are doing everything they can to elevate the stock. And then you had the wave of people buying it, and then what happened? It took some big swings, so that is volatile, for sure. So.
Now, another headline here from Zero Hedge. Without subsidies, is AI unaffordable?
Yeah. AI, artificial intelligence. And that's worth an essay on itself, is because each of these great financial bubbles have celebrated a new technology. 1929, it was Radio Corp of America. Whoa, boy, that was special. RCA. And in 1873, it was Western Union Telegraph. And get this, they also operated the ticker tape system in each office in New York and businesses and any place there were financial interests. So, yeah, and in the first one, the Celsius bubble, the stock was floated because they had developed a new way of making sailcloth. So the thing with a great financial bubble is you celebrate everything new, and we're getting a lot of that.
Now from Zero Hedge, the AI backlash has tech executives fearing for their lives.
Yeah, it's a sensational headline, and I think that was fearing for their positions in business. I took a look at it, and that's what it reads to me.
Okay, because I was thinking about people with torches and pitchforks heading for the nearest AI data center to roast the people who cost them their jobs. Now, from Breitbart, the government isn't coming to save you. Britain's to be told to stockpile food, water over Russian hybrid threat.
Oh, yeah, that one was also very sensational. And I looked it up, but I can't remember what the Russian's hybrid threat was. But, no, it's, again, another sensational headline. I like this one, that Japan chooses reliable energy over climate nonsense. That is pretty good, because the big push about climate has been on for more than 30 years. And it has been phenomenal that since life started on Earth almost a billion years ago, it is warm weather, warming climate trends, it's great. And there was one time, maybe 400,000 million years ago, when the Earth was one great huge slush ball, got very cold. So, life was destroyed. And, the last ice age, 13,000 years ago, the ice extended right down to where Chicago is now. And you imagine yourself being there and looking under the extent of the ice and seeing what kind of life was there. So the climate hysteria faction They just plain got it wrong. Warming is good. Cooling is bad. And when I took, I did geology and geophysics and a very long time ago, and the lectures in climate, you didn't use the term climate change. It was ice ages, and ice ages came and went. And at the time, it was thought that they were random, and they happened. And in the 1920s, a researcher by the name of Milankovitch had published that the changes in ice ages was due to changes in the Earth's orbit, in the solar system. And indeed, when I was at school studying at that time, I'm going to tell you when, 1960, there's no way of knowing. And then maybe late 60s, from satellite information and a whole lot of other work, drilling, and the data came in on climate history, and it confirms that Milankovitch was right. It all tied to our solar system, and immensely practical. So, yeah.
Now, we were talking about SpaceX and their IPO. SpaceX sell-off, an ominous sign as lockup expiry looms.
Yeah.
So the people who got the stock at a really low price before the IPO, are they going to sell off and make some profit here and drive the price down?
Oh, anything's possible. But, Jim, please do not use the term IPO. New issue.
Well, now, Fort Knox, this headline from Zero Hedge, Fort Knox standoff. Besant says, all the gold is there, says America, used to be backed by it.
Yeah.
Well, so is the gold there in Fort Knox?
I have a very impeccable source. And I learned that radon gas, and it lurks in basements. Well, the radon gas in the basement at Fort Knox has turned all of that gold to lead.
Well, we do need lead for batteries.
Yeah, no, that is a line I've been working on for a while, and that headline came up, and I thought, oh, good. Yeah, we can use that. There's no gold in Fort Knox. It's all been turned to lead.
Hmm. Now, when the Germans asked for their gold back from the Americans, what they were getting is gold-plated tungsten.
I didn't read about that.
Yeah, that happened several years ago, and they're going, we have found out you're scamming us. Yeah. We would like our real gold bars back.
Yeah, I would expect that the gold in Fort Knox, each brick or whatever form it's in, is sound and 4/9 pure, you know? This business about in tungsten is, I think that's a doubtful story.
Bob, always fun chatting with you.
Yeah, Jim, I enjoy our get-together and look forward to next week.
My guest has been market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. If you have any questions for Bob, you can send them to info@howstreet.com. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on X at How Street. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. HowStreet.com Radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.